Now more than ever. Lowe's knows you don't just want a low price. You want the lowest price. And with our lowest price guarantee, you can count on us for competitive prices on all your home improvement projects. If you find a qualifying lower price somewhere else on the same item, we'll match it. Lowe's. We help. You save. Price match applies to same item, current price at qualifying retailers. Exclusions and terms apply. Learn how we'll match price at lowes.com/lowest price guarantee.
This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor. I welcome my colleague Ekaterina Zolotova, writing for Geopolitical Futures, a subscription site I hardly recommend. She is in Moscow, writing of the rivers of Russia for trade, but at the same time, romance. I tell the story, Ekaterina. In 1985, I traveled to your country overland from Finland, Petersburg to Moscow, and then back. There was one night, I believe on our way back, we stopped overnight at a hotel along a very large and a romantic river. It was white nights, so there never really was dark. I sat up on the balcony of my hotel room, watching an enormous amount of river traffic flowing by, barges after barges, big barges, little barges, houseboats, everything. And I thought, this is wonderful. The river is clearly a major transportation point because the roads at that time between Petersburg and Moscow, you will remember, were a little bumpy. They had some details that needed to be worked up. I'm sure they're better 40 years later. But you tell me now I was watching the Volga, which is about as famous a river as you can have if you're reading Russian novels. You're writing of the river traffic out east in Siberia. Does Russia value its rivers, its navigable rivers, using them for transportation, or is that old-fashioned? Good evening to you.
Good evening. Well, for this moment, we could say that it is quite old-fashioned, but at the same time, the government is concentrating right now very heavily on restoring this transportation way. So that's a very nice story that you've mentioned about Volga River. And indeed, even in the 90s, there were still a lot of barges and ships moving through this river. I have my dacha, as we call it in Russia, my country house over there. So I also was observing them. The meaning of these transports, of the river transport, was declining because mostly Russia was concentrating on the trade with Europe. That was mainly the gas and oil pipelines for the transportation of Russian goods. Plus, there were some railway roads and road transport. So the role of the rivers became a little bit less than it was in the Soviet Union, and not many ships were constructed. Right now, ship industry, together with the internal river transportation, is among the major plans for the Kremlin. They want to revive this, and especially they want to revive not only the Western river transportations, like, for example, the beginning of the Volga, the part with that you was talking about, it's in Tver. But they also want to revive the transportation in the eastern part of Russia. And here is a very interesting aspect of the river trade and cooperation within rivers. First of all, we need to look at geography. There are two types of the rivers in the eastern part of Russia. Some rivers, they flow from the west to east, and they become kind of the border between Russia and other countries. And some of them, they are flowing from south to north to the Arctic region, which is also very important for Kremlin right now. I would like to remind that Kremlin is concentrating also on the northern sea route. So the river transportation may be very important for them.
That's opening up the Arctic, opening up with the warming of the ice pack. That's what you're referring to. So They want to revive the south to north traffic to flow into the circle, the circling of the globe that's a much faster transportation point to Europe and to Asia. I follow you exactly. That's amazing that they're planning that far ahead. What about the rivers? Are there rivers that go from north to south towards China?
Well, yes, there are some rivers, and better to say not rivers, but basins, because that rivers were very well used during the Soviet Union. And by the way, a lot of transportation was happened during in these rivers. So a lot of goods were transferred through these rivers. Soviet government paid a lot of attention for the ship construction, for the ways, especially for such rivers like Irtysh River. Irtysh River is very important because it passes not only through the whole Russia, but it starts in China. It passes Kazakhstan, then it goes through all Russia. Plus, we don't need to forget that there is, when we speak about Russian rivers, we usually speak about the whole basin. So there are other small rivers and there are some connections. And then it goes to the Arctic. So basically, it can connect Kazakhstan and some part of China as well to the Arctic. And that's what Russia is trying to promote right now.
That's visionary. I like it a great deal. At the same time, you emphasize that Russia needs work on infrastructure. Just that bumpy road from Moscow to Petersburg in 85 is all the way across eastern Siberia. Rivers answer that problem. One question is, will China lend a hand? Right now, you indicate that China is not. You're doing a lot of trade, but China's not building bridges and roads and railroads yet to connect Russia. The Amur River is a border. You make a special report about the Amur River and a bridge across the Amur River.
It was exactly the time when the Russian government and Chinese government decided in 2014, which is a quite important date. If we remember, 2014 was a very special year for Russia, when all the Crimean story, when all the Ukrainian territories in Donbass had the first referendum, if we speak about Crimea, for example, and when Donbass became unstable. And that was the year when the first sanctions against Russia appeared from the eastern, from the west, western part of the world, as Russia call it, I mean Europe. And at that time, Russia decided that it can't be dependent on the European continent, the European area anymore. It has to open its way to the east. And that project actually was considered by the government as something that could facilitate the trade between Russia and China. And since there are still very big shortage of the trade routes, especially when we speak about the railway roads, for example, and other roads. The construction of the bridge was considered as the first step, and it was successfully implemented. Right now, the Russian and Chinese side are trying to find the new modern ways to connect that area. And for example, there is one of the very interesting projects. It's the usage of drones to deliver the goods from one bank of the river to another.
Yes, I saw 50 kilogram loads from one side to the other to the river. The rivers themselves, are they being dredged? Are they navigable now? Or do they need work?
They are navigable, but at the same time, if the countries want to revive the trade, and if they are planning to use the huge ships, the huge barges that contain a lot of goods, some work should be done for sure. Especially there are some very sensitive and vulnerable places in the rivers when we speak, for example, about Irtysh River. So some work should be done for sure. But at the same time, it might be definitely cheaper and faster than to construct the new bridges and construct the new tunnels in the eastern part of Russia. The tunnels and bridges for the railway roads and the roads. So that could be a very good option. Plus, there is also another point. Russia needs to construct a lot of merchant fleet as well. And actually, the governmental budget already allocated some money for this, despite that Russia still is in the military operation and is spending a lot of money to keep the military.
Ekaterina Zolotova for Geopolitical Futures on the rivers of Russia, the Volga. I remember it vividly now that I know what I was watching. Thank you, Ekaterina.
Stay tuned for more of CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.
Did you know using your browser in incognito mode doesn't actually protect your privacy? Take back your privacy with IPVanish VPN. Just one tap and all your data, passwords, communications, browsing history, and more will be instantly protected. IPVanish makes you virtually invisible online. Use IPVanish on all your devices, anytime you go online at home, and especially on public Wi-Fi. Get IPVanish now for 70% off a yearly plan with this exclusive offer at IPVanish.com/audio.